Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. We're looking from Isaiah 62, verse 2. We are told that we will have a new name. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, says the old hymn writer. It's a wonderful thing to be thought of as a person that can have a new name. God gives us these names. Now, we've looked at one of the names that he gives us, and that is of a friend. We have also looked at the name he gives us as a witness. Today, I want to tackle a subject that always seems to annoy people, but I want to share with you that we are a people who are also stewards. Now, the word steward is a very distinctive name, and it's between servant and steward, but it's distinctive. And so steward comes up very powerfully. A servant is one who serves, as we read in Romans 1:9, or a laborer, as we read in Matthew 9:37, a worker, as is recorded in Matthew 21:28, a steward is a servant, but in the very word steward is contained the idea of responsibility. God has entrusted certain things to us, and we are responsible to him to use those things properly. If you go to Genesis and chapter 15 and verse 2, Eliezer was a steward of Abraham's household. He was to govern the whole affairs of the household. He has to account to Abraham for discharging his responsibility. Now, there's lots of scriptures to go to look at, and I'll just quickly give you some, but you have to study this on your own. One is Genesis 43:19, 1 Chronicles 28:1, Luke 8:3, and then Luke 12:42, and Luke 19:12-13. I'm not going to get involved in talking too far about stewardship, but these are witnesses of stewardship. These are men who were used of God and their masters to be good stewards. Now, in this latter reading of Luke 19, the servants were stewards, and their job was to rightly dispense and to administer the master's goods and to trade with the money given to them. And I think you know how it worked out rather badly for the fellow that had only one thing to be bothered with, £1 or one talent to work with. And he buried his because he said, well, you know, this Lord is likely to come and demand of me, so I'll bury it in the ground. The one that was given 10, he went to sort of the Wall Street of the day, and he bought stocks and shares, made money, made 10 times what he started off with. And the man that had 5 talents, why, he did the same. He worked on different projects, and he made money using that 5 talents or £5 as his base. So we find that God is not averse to us making money. The job of a steward is to rightly dispense and to administer the master's goods and to trade with the money given to them. If you have been given a pile of money, please understand it is your money to do as you will with. But God gave that to you. I remember listening to an American preacher who shocked me when he said, talking of stewardship, he said, if you have $1,000 to leave to your children, and you have 4 children, and one doesn't love the Lord, divide that money into 3. Do not divide it into 4. The one that doesn't love the Lord should not have the Lord's money to squander. And you know, that shook me. I'd never thought of it like that. To inherit a chunk of change would be very nice. But you see, there's more to stewardship than just money. Our whole life, in the first instance here, is involved. what a great gift God has given to us. He's given to us a body. He's given to us a mind so that we can think, hearts so that we can love, wills so that we can choose, infinite capabilities He has given to all of us. It is important that you recognize your whole life belongs to God. And when you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the great privilege of bringing your whole life before the Lord Jesus. I would ask you to turn with me to the first epistle of Peter and chapter 4. And let me read to you from verse 1, "Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of your life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness and lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye now run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to the Spirit of God. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." And then he talks about this: "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy," and so on. Now, the thing to be thinking of here is what a witness and a friend who maybe is a steward will suffer. The whole life is to be given over to the Lord Jesus. We exercise stewardship in all the areas that I have mentioned, from our bodies, minds, hearts, wills, and the infinite capabilities that we have. Now let's look at our influence. All of us have influence, and we are responsible for how it is used. Once more, Romans teaches us some precious thoughts, and it's good to go to Romans. And the 14th chapter especially has this to say in the 7th verse: "None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." And it's important to understand that. It's so important that we need to refer to it often. By the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we respond to circumstances, how are we influencing other people? In this, we are to be stewards. Now let's bring, in the third instance, our money and possessions. There is nothing that is ours, really. And so I have to say, not ours, but all is God's. We are merely stewards of whatever it is he has allowed us to have. to understand we are only managing savings, investments, houses, businesses and shops and all those things. We're just managers, that's all, and we are to do it to the best of our abilities. Our money belongs to our Lord. Hence, I do not believe in giving 10% to the church. I believe that everything I have is the Lord's, and so whatever money is necessary to help the church, or to help the missionary, or to help a brother in the ministry, it is my responsibility to do the very best I can and to give as much as I possibly can and to make more money or collect more money somehow and to give to them. But in the fourth instance, there is our children. Those who are parents have been entrusted with the gift of children. I have to ask the question, are we cognizant of the responsibility of stewardship to our children? Oh, you turn on the television, you walk away, you go to your room and you do your thing and they have their television. That is not responsible. No wonder our children are dying in the vine, as it were. Television is a babysitter, a mind-numbing theme. And the world knows how to use that mind-numbing theme. I was shocked when I first came to this country and found on television advertisements that said, get ready for school. You've got to buy so many pencils, so many erasers, and so many pages, and so many books, and this and that and the other. And you'll need clothes. You need two or three different sets of clothes. We came from England. Our children wore school uniforms, so they had one set of clothes to go to school on. Of course, the clothes that were nearest to their skin were washed often, but the skirts or the trousers, the jackets and the caps and the hats, they were all the thing that you wore for school. There's a lot to be said for that. I'm not suggesting that it's the only way. It's the other extreme. But children today have to have the latest fashion to go back to school? Come on. That's ridiculous. We can't afford it. And we shouldn't afford it. It's a waste of money. But it's a way of getting us to spend our money on our children. It's like Christmas. Well, it's for the children after all, isn't it? No, it isn't. Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not about what we can purchase and give to children. We have lost sight of the real thing. We have lost sight. We need to teach our children. Teach the children. Now, you may think I was harsh with mine, but they couldn't go out and buy several pairs of shoes or several pairs of this, that, and the other because we didn't have the money. I was in the ministry. My wife and I obviously were very young at the time. We just simply hadn't accrued anything. But our children didn't go without. And we made sure we spent time with the children. And my wife especially did an enormous amount of working with the children. Now, notice another thing. Our time. This belongs to God. Our time. Think how much time you do have. How is it used? Is it used in the light of eternity? Or do we waste the time? Ephesians 5:16 tells us quite simply and literally, buying up the opportunities. Take the time to buy up on the opportunities that are around you. And then we have special talents. All talents are a trust from God. The talent of spoken speech, song, entertaining at home, opening doors of opportunity for others, encouraging other people to walk through those doors, not managing their lives, but giving them opportunities. You can do that. You may have special talents. And last in this little section, I would share with you the gospel of the grace of God. If you go to 1 Corinthians 4:1 and 1 Thessalonians 2:4, you will see that the gospel of the grace of God in these verses tell us that we have a responsibility to live the gospel, to preach the gospel, to send forth the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are stewards of this. Now, let's see briefly because of time, briefly from scriptures. Every person who is loving the Lord Jesus is in this matter of stewardship. Every Christian is a steward. And you can read this in the 10th verse of 1 Peter 4, where he quietly says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Do it. Do it. The congregation, if you're a pastor, may have got fed up with you, or they don't like the way you do this or say that, and all that sort of thing. It really is wrong of them to express themselves like that, but they do, and you can't get beyond it. It is one of the sins that we've not been able to deal with in the church today. And we think because we're evangelicals, we can do those things. We can crush a man and do all sorts of things like that. But it's not right. Luke and chapter 19 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11, and Ephesians 4 and verse 7, and this wonderful little verse 10 in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. They all tell us that we are stewards if we are Christians. God has entrusted us with certain responsibilities, and we are accountable to Him as to how we discharge these responsibilities. We may be good or bad stewards. Notice that here in this 10th verse of 1 Peter 4, the apostle says this, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There are two kinds of stewards. According to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4, the apostle Paul says there are spiritual stewards and carnal stewards. To me, there's no such thing as a carnal steward. I don't know how a Christian can be a carnal Christian. He is either living for his Lord or is not. He is either faithful or he is not. I don't understand why we give room for the carnality of man in the Christian walk. But I would say to you that if we break down on the things I've been saying, that we don't recognize our children as part of our responsibility and so on, if we don't get on with the job of being a good steward, not just of money, but all the other things that I've already mentioned, then I suppose carnality comes in. The spiritual man hones his life to the point where he has all kinds of things going rightfully. For instance, I think there are two kinds of servants. There's the faithful and the unfaithful. We find that in Luke 16 and verse 10. There are two kinds of saints, vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, according to 2 Timothy 2 and verses 20 through 21. And there are two kinds of stewards. Oh, and we have to ask, which one am I? Which one are you today? Are you faithful or unfaithful? And then we have to be careful of the stewardship that we have. The period in which we are to exercise the stewardship is until the Lord comes. In chapter 19 and verse 13 of Luke, Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." You compare that with 1 Peter and chapter 4, verses 7 and 10. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be good stewards. And you can compare that with John 9 and verse 4 and 1 Corinthians 7 and 29. If we do that, the period in which we are to exercise our stewardship is until the Lord Jesus comes. There's no retirement from this. We are to exercise our stewardship in the light of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I give you three scriptures. Luke 19 and verse 15, Romans 14 and verse 12, 1 Corinthians 3 verses 9 through 15. Every Christian will be rewarded or suffer loss according as to whether he has been a good or bad steward. What a difference it would make if we lived in the light of this great fact. How different our giving would be. Our zealousness would be, our view of missionary work would be, if all were considered in the light of the just steward that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of and the light of that day. Notice in the fifth instance here, the special character of the steward's work is faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2 teaches faithfulness, reward not according to success, only faithfulness. Just have I been faithful in discharging the responsibility that God has given me? Have I been faithful, not in the success? One day I opened the mail and there was a form to fill in to the head office of the Baptist organization that I was with, and it said, how many people do you expect to baptize next year? I wrote in some caustic little expressions such as, whatever the Lord wants to give. And I heard afterwards that they always laughed at what I wrote in. One of the questions they asked was, what do you think of marriage? I wrote, necessary. I thought that was a good scriptural benefit. If you burn towards the spouse you intend to marry, marry her. It's necessary. And so they said they often laughed at my curt answers. Well, I have to tell you this. I believe that a man should not be judged on whether he has 20 people in his church, 200, 2,000, or 500,000. I don't think that matters a scrap. What matters is that man faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to the Word of God? Is he faithful? And then I would say to you, in the next instance, there's a special mark of the steward's life character, and that is it is blameless. Look at Titus 1, verses 7 through 9. God does not provide for us to be perfect or faultless, but he does require us to be blameless. There is a difference between blameless and faultless. It is impossible for us to be faultless, but by the grace and through the indwelling Holy Spirit, we may and should live blamelessly. And I mean that. It's very important. Last of all, I want to say to you, faithfulness in our stewardship in this life will qualify us for greater responsibilities in service in the life to come. In Luke 19 and verse 16, we discover that we shall be forever with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, our service will not end. It is just the beginning. This present service is preparation of that is to come. And if you look at Revelation 22 and verse 3, you will see that, as of Mary of Bethany. It was said in Mark 14 and the 8th verse, she hath done what she could. Now, are you living blamelessly? Are you doing what you can? Are you a person who is standing up for the Lord Jesus? Are you his friend? Are you his witness? And are you, above all things, are you a person who is a witness that is a good steward? Now, I want to share with you that it's an important thing that today you come into this place of stewardship, and all your money belongs to the Lord Jesus, and all your vehicles, and all your collections, and all your wonderful achievements, all your entrepreneurship. All of this belongs to God. It is not for you to get upset and say, I. In one sense, our president was correct when he said, if you have been successful in your business, you didn't do that. You didn't. God did it for you. Now, he didn't mean that. He meant something from a socialistic point of view. But I mean it this way, that God gave you first the idea, then the opportunity, and then he gave you the wherewithal, and somehow you managed to bash your way through, and today you are successful because you have achieved, and you have achieved because God gave you the increase. All that you have belongs to God. Isn't that something? It's something certainly to chew on and to think about. Well, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Consider being a good steward of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you will help us, bless us, and cause us to turn over all our lives, that nothing in our hearts we bring, simply to thy cross we cling, to recognize that we are nothing and can do nothing except you do it in us. Lord, will you be the light of our world? Will you be our life, our place of resting, that we may be all yours? Lord Jesus, take our lives and let them be consecrated all to thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, saints of Jesus, God bless you. Bye-bye.